You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
I'm gonna run circles around you after this.
And Daryl.
How do I run in heels? Faster than you, that's for sure.
Good morning, good evening, good night, whatever it is for you. Welcome to episode 201 of The Training Dummies, recorded on March 15th, 2018. My name is Rob, and today, myself and my bro host have finished a feat. We have accomplished a thing. We have climbed the mountain, and we've done it, and now we're on to, I guess, bigger and better things. We have finished the Couch to 5K training program, so, yeah. We did it.
That's right. I'll give ourselves applause for this
for reals. You know what? I'm just going to introduce our guests so we can just kind of get into the whole thing, because I feel like we can go back and forth about it, but we just want to talk, right?
For sure.
Well, to the man who's practically third chair on the podcast, who needs no introduction, can we have a warm Training Dummies welcome for James?
It's good to be back, guys.
Mr. Man, the English guy himself.
Third chair, huh?
Almost, man. You're there. You're getting close.
I'll take it.
I think if we can, I don't know, maybe we try and set you up on something where we do like a monthly thing or something.
You're never going to hear me complain.
Yeah, it's awesome. Not a bad idea.
How are you guys doing?
I'm doing awesome. I've worked hard. I've sweated hard. I've ran hard. And I'm doing great. And it feels good for you guys.
I got to say, I mean, like, just for context, because we have our Guild Twitch Guild Discord chat, I have watched from the sidelines week by week as you have posted your progress, and not only has it taken me back to my early running days, but I have been like hella impressed with like your guys' determination and perseverance, and like those moments when it's super hard always followed by those moments of celebration. So I'm really proud of you guys. Way to go.
You're gonna make me cry, and we just started. Actually, yeah, if I
keep going, I could probably make you cry.
If I'm being honest, there was times where I did have real tears during this, like actual, like these moments where I just absolutely broke down and had to get through this thing. Like, there you go. Yeah. Full disclosure.
Wow.
Well, if that doesn't bring everything to a screeching halt, then Daryl, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing great. And yeah, it's been amazing. Like it's, I know there's been times where we've pushed each other, because there was times where I'm like, oh, I don't know if I feel like running. And then I'd see that you posted on in our Discord, oh man, Rob did it. I have to do it now. Right. Like I got to keep up. Right. And then yeah. There was another, I remember it was a Sunday afternoon at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I get a text from Rob and it's like, so are you going to do your run today? I'm like, actually I already did it this afternoon earlier. He's like, damn it. Talk to you later. I'm headed to the gym.
Like, I was never looking for a reason to get out of it, but I was looking to kind of see like, oh, I'm going to do it today or I'm going to do it tomorrow. Like,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, no, that was awesome.
So I'm looking for the catalyst moment of this. Here we go. November 20th, 2016, I asked, Missy sent me a message and said that she sent me the link to the app, and she said that that James and her had used this app to do the Couch to 5K training. Now that was a long time ago, at this point a year and a half ago.
Also I should be clear that yes, we used the same program, but years apart from each other.
Gotcha. Yeah, you've been doing this for a great while now. That app sat on my phone for darn near a year and a half before my wife finally just said, hey, let's do this thing. She started following this gal on Instagram who I think her tag is like Fat Girl Fed Up. And she was like almost 500 pounds and just decided to do this, kind of do the whole thing herself. Didn't have any guidance or professional training or anything like that. She just decided to go for it. And, you know, my wife was like, let's do it. Let's do this Couch to 5K thing. And so that was, you know, what was it, 8-9 weeks ago now. And mm-hmm. And Daryl and I kind of started almost at the exact same time. I don't know if you said you had the app too and you had never done it. How did that go?
Well, I thought it was the same app we were using, but I've been using a different one. But I've had it on my phone for probably 5 years. And I've had like the pro version for like 5 years. I want to say I've started it probably 5 times as well and always quit on like week 2 in the past. And I know before the show, we were talking about how, James, you said that the first time you did it, you signed up for a race like right away. Well, I had done that too and ended up forfeiting my $50 for the registration because I just never ran the race, right? So that's,
I mean, to that point, like it's, I think that it's all about what motivates us as individuals, right?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, exactly.
The moment that I throw money down on something, if I don't follow through on it, I feel like it's just a colossal waste of resource, right? Like I work hard for my money and therefore, so like I registered for this race and I was going to do it come hell or high water.
Right. But yeah, so like I quit like at least probably 4 times where, you know, this might have been the 5th. I can't even remember how many times, but yeah, to week 2 and it's always just fail. But then this time I really think it was Rob that, well, Rob's doing this. I'm like, okay, well, maybe that's the little spark I need to keep going. And it definitely helped. Like that might have been it. Cause I know my wife is doing it as well. She got, she was sick for a week and, you know, a couple of other things. So she's a couple of weeks behind right now. But in the past, we would be self-defeating where it would be like one of us would not want to do it. And it's like, well, do you really feel like running tonight? And then the other one would be like, wow, they don't. So do I really? And like, no, I don't. And then we wouldn't, right? So we'd feed off each other. But where I couldn't do that with Rob, so it was good to have that extra person. And now I'm encouraging my wife to continue on and to finish it. So yeah, it's been really good. And I think having Rob doing it as well has definitely helped me to continue on and complete it.
I won't get into like the depth of it, but I did share on Facebook recently that this is a huge deal for me because I've grown up like I've had severe asthma since a week before my first birthday. And I missed like almost 100 days of school in kindergarten. And it's just been like, it has kind of just been a crushing thing for me most of my life. And I've always wanted to run and it just never worked. Right. I did a bunch of stuff. You know, I tried to play sports in high school and it just was really difficult and making it through this. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's maybe where I live now. The climate here in Austin's a little bit different. It's a lot easier on my lungs. You know, the meds have changed over the years. I'm on some pretty good asthma meds to help keep that under control, but I'm doing this now without I haven't taken my rescue inhaler in, I don't know, in several years now. So I'm just taking my regular stuff and doing it. And it's fairly amazing to me because I've never, ever been able to do this before. And now seeing this through from start to finish, I don't know. I don't feel like I've hit the end now where I run a 5K and I'm done and, you know, put that check mark in the box and call it good. I feel like this is kind of just the beginning. So I don't know. Let's get into some of these questions. How hard was it for you, James, to pick up running and get going with it?
You know, it was a very strange thing. I'm not quite sure what my catalyst was to start running. If I think back, sort of 2008, 2009, I was definitely overweight. There was no question about that. I was there's a thing that happens when people join Blizzard, the Blizzard 15, for whatever reason, yeah. Because there's constantly donuts and sugary drinks and whatever. Like everyone who joins Blizzard puts on a little bit of weight. I think I probably put on a little bit more than most. But I was in a Paris hotel room. I was visiting the office out in the Blizzard office in Paris. This was February of 2010. And I had this moment where I kind of caught my side profile in the mirror in the hotel room and was a little bit shocked at the rotundness that was presented to me. And so, and I vowed then, okay, as soon as I get back home, like I'm dropping the weight. But I did that. Like, I got home and I got on a diet, but I wasn't really working out. And so, like, yeah, I got on a diet. I dropped the weight, but it didn't feel particularly great. It just felt like I was starving myself, right? And then a little bit later that year, a good while later, it was a full year and a half later, on my 32nd birthday, I woke up and for some reason I said out loud, I'm going to go for a run. And I didn't even have real running shoes. I can't remember what they were, but they weren't like actual proper running shoes. But I laced up what I had and I put on jogging pants and a cotton t-shirt and I went out and I ran about a quarter of a mile and I was absolutely gassed. Couldn't breathe, couldn't take another step. I was beat. And so I thought, then there has to be a better way of doing this. And that's when a guy I used to work with, he's a ex-Marine, ultra-marathon runner, a super fit dude. He turned me on to Couch to 5K. He said, why don't you do Couch to 5K? And so I got the app and I started it a couple of days later. And as you'd mentioned, I registered for a race exactly at the end of the program so that I had something to work towards and had thrown down, you know, kind of put my money where my mouth was. I went through it. And actually, I lie. It was a 9-week program. The race was 10 weeks later. I repeated week 5 because it was very difficult for me. There's a point in that program that it suddenly jumps up, right? And so I just went through it. I repeated that week. And I think every step of the way, this is back in 2011 now, but every step of the way, I was surprising myself with what I was capable of. And that feeling of like, holy crap, I actually just ran a whole mile, or I just ran for 20 minutes without stopping or walking. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was something about that that was very revelatory to me in the sense of I was doing things that I didn't know I was capable of. And I began to enjoy that feeling of tiredness in my legs and the muscle soreness and the cold shower after a hot run kind of thing became almost an enjoyable experience. It was hard, but I honestly can't point to a thing that really catalyzed me. I just woke up on my birthday and decided to go for a run. And I did, and I haven't stopped since.
Do you have anything like any sort of asthma or any physical stuff that's like holding you back at all? Or were you able to just like get into it?
Yeah, a couple of things have come up early on. I have some injuries. I played soccer for my school in my teens, and I had a triple break in my right ankle, for which I still have pins in my ankle today for it. And I'd also dislocated my left kneecap a couple of times, several years before, but still, you know, injuries. And so there were points at which, you know, my ankle would hurt. I had a real problem with pain in my knee. And that's where, I know we've talked about it on Discord, but that's where a friend said, you need to go to a running store. You need to have them analyze your what they call a gait analysis, which is really how does your foot land when you're running? And they'll help you pick the right shoe. You probably have the wrong shoe. You need an ankle support.
I guarantee you, I do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like you need an ankle support, you need a knee support. And it was funny because I actually, I think this was probably sometime around week 6 or 7, where I was running. I want to say I was probably doing 15 to 20 minutes nonstop with one small break, you know, and then repeating it. Mm-hmm. Where I'd gone out to run and my knee started really, really hurting and I had to stop. Like I could not go on. So I walked home and I was kind of down. Really depressed about it, thinking this is it, my running days are over, I can never do this. Next day, my friend at work said, let's go to Roadrunner at lunchtime and let's ask them for a gait analysis. So we went and they put me on a treadmill and they have this slow-mo camera right down at my feet. And they, you know, I ran a gentle jog and barefoot, they showed it down and we slowed it down and we showed me the video afterwards. And they said, yeah, you land on the inside of your foot before you straighten up. So the pressure up your leg to your knee is kind of all to one side, and that's why you have pain. So you need a different kind of shoe. So they molded my feet for a custom orthotic insert, and I bought a pair of, I think it was Asics GT2000s, to be very specific. I went out that night and ran with zero pain. And this is 24 hours later. I mean, just by changing the footwear, it resolved the problem. And so, yeah, there were moments. And even now, there are times when, of course, I'm up to much longer distances now, and I'm out running. It's about time rather than distance. But I can go out and run for a couple hours and, you know, and be sore the next time I go out. And, you know, it's probably because I haven't stretched or, you know, my shoes are wearing out. I need to replace them. Mm-hmm. Also, when I get sick, I was recently sick. I had to take a week off from running. And like I went to the doctor and was like, you know, I'm trying to train for a thing and I'm afraid this is going to put me back. And so he gave me an inhaler. I know you're talking about asthma, but he gave me an inhaler and was like, couple of pulls on this inhaler before you go running. It helps open things up. So yeah, things come up all the time. And of course our bodies adapt, but injuries and problems, I think they just come as part of the package when you're running.
Man, I feel like I'm just going to skip around in the notes here, Daryl.
Yeah, no, that's okay, totally fine.
But you talked about the importance of like getting the right pair of shoes and stuff. And I know that I don't have that right now. Mm-hmm. I've got $50 beaters that I got over it, you know, some Nikes from whatever Famous Footwear or whatever. And that's, it's working for me, but something that I'm running into is that my right foot is towards the end of what I'm doing right now, about 30-ish minutes, towards the end of it, it's my right foot is starting to go numb a little bit, and I did a bunch of research on it, and I think it just mainly has to do with I'm not wearing the right footwear, and you know, and it was talking about, you know, loosen your shoes a little bit or whatever. But how important do you think it is, you know, for the whole process to try and make sure you have the right stuff from the get go?
From the get go. I wouldn't say it's that important. A lot of injuries tend to be as a result of repetition. So there's a big difference between running for 2 minutes and what that does to your body versus mm-hmm. running mm-hmm. for 20 minutes or 30 minutes or 45 minutes. And so there are things that you may not feel or may not notice until you've put some extended exertion upon your joints and stuff like that. But I do think at a point when something starts to hurt, and hurt in a way that is clearly, like it's important to listen to your body, right? So when you get a pain that is clearly this is not right pain versus you're in pain because you just worked out for half an hour, hard, two different types.
You're sore. Yeah.
Yeah. Soreness versus like pain during the activity are two different things. And so, when your body is telling you, wait, this is something's up here, it's really important to pay attention to that. And, in my experience, like not just for myself, but other people I know that have gotten into running, 9 times out of 10, these injuries come down to wrong type of equipment, wrong footwear, or there's an existing old sports injury that needs a brace or some kind of support, mm-hmm. Or not stretching, not warming up, those kinds of things. Normally it's just a matter of trying to figure it out, getting the right kind of help, getting the right kind of process of elimination in place to figure out what it is. And then once you figure that out, the recovery tends to be relatively quick.
So you just mentioned the stretching. That is something I'm trying to do that. Like I'm not doing it before I run. So I do my, you know, it's the app, it comes with, you know, it does a 5 minute warm up walk. So a brisk walk to warm up. Then you do your run, you know, 5 minute walk to cool down. And then my app says, now do some stretching, some light stretching. So, I've tried to do some stretching to make sure. And I've asked even in our Discord, what are some good stretches to do? But how important is that? And should I be doing it? Do you think I should be doing it before I start as well?
You know, there's a lot of very conflicting thoughts out there from people who are actually educated on this. And mm-hmm. I don't claim to be an expert.
Right, right.
There are those that say, absolutely, you should do a minimum of 5 minutes of stretching before you go running. There are also those that say, no, stretching is a cool down activity. And when you stretch, you're telling your body that it's time to cool down and not kind of ramp up. And so it's better to warm up with a brisk walk or a light jog or something like that. For me personally, I do very brief stretching before I run, which is normally just my hamstrings, my quads, and my calves. I do kind of a 10-second stretch on each, which just helps loosen it up and feel like I'm not you know, like I haven't just got out of bed. Mm-hmm. At the end of the run, though, there's a lot of science behind stretching after you run. Really aids in muscle recovery. It helps expel the lactic acid that builds up as you run. So the soreness is a little bit depleted in the hours and days afterwards. But I think like the best piece of advice I can give is everyone needs to work out what feels best for them or what works best for them. I know runners that run marathons and ultra marathons that never stretch before or after. And I also know those that won't even lace up until they've done a 20-minute stretchy yoga session. So I think it's really important that you kind of experiment and figure out what feels best for you. It is also worth noting that stretching helps avoid injury and warming up muscles that are particularly prone to being injured if there's something recurring is important. But I don't know. I've gotten to that point where there's so much conflicting information, right, and conflicting advice that I'm like, I don't know what to trust. So I'm just going to try a bunch of things and figure out what works best for me. And I think, I mean, this is, you know, I've been running for almost 7 years now. I think I figured out what works for me, but I can't authoritatively say that it would work for Rob or it would work for Daryl or it would work for anyone else, mm-hmm, without you guys trying that out, you know?
Right. That makes sense. Totally.
One thing that came up several times in our Discord, and it's even tonight so far, was talking about pace. And I know during this process for me, it actually was super helpful for me to dial it down just a touch. And that really helped me to get to a point where I could focus on my breathing and kind of actually learn how to breathe while I'm doing this, because that's key for me with asthma and stuff, is not pushing it too far, too fast. Now, with pacing, you were saying earlier about it, you're running for time and not for distance. How do you tell when you can kind of up it or push yourself or what is, I don't know. I got discouraged at one point during the process because I started researching pacing and it was like, oh, well, anything less than this, you know, than this speed isn't even considered a run. And I was just like, what the heck, man? I'm like, I didn't realize it's baby steps, but like, so, I mean, how is this just a mind game? Does it matter? Like, talk about that a little bit.
I mean, first of all, I would say it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. In my opinion, if you're running at 5 mile an hour or you're running at 8 mile an hour or you're sprinting at 10 mile an hour, the point is that you're out there doing it and you're doing something healthy and the finish line doesn't move. And it doesn't matter if you cross that thing in 20 minutes or 40 minutes or an hour. The distance is the distance, and just finishing is something to be extremely proud of at any point. Of course, like, we all have our own kind of personal goals. And the interesting thing about running as well, like, I think back to when I was first starting, and there's two things that occur as like a happy side effect of running. One is natural weight loss, right? Like, cardio is a great way to lose weight. Mm-hmm. The science of it, you burn more calories, you eat, you're going to lose some weight. And so when you weigh less, you tend to run a little bit faster because your legs are carrying less weight around with you. And that's not, that tends to be a subconscious thing. That tends to be the natural result. The other great thing that happens is your cardio strength improves. So there is a running measurement. I don't want to get too technical here, but there's a running measurement called VO2 max, which is velocity of your maximum oxygen consumption. And essentially what it is how much oxygen per milliliter of blood per kilogram of weight are you using? And really what it translates to is how fast does your heart have to beat to get oxygen to your muscles while you're running? So then essentially how labored is your breathing? And as you run, the more you run, just like any muscle, your heart is a muscle, your lung is a muscle, you get more efficient at these things. And so you'll find that if running at 5 mile an hour for 20 minutes is laborious for you today, you do that for a little while, you'll notice a month, 3 months, 6 months down the line that feels much easier. Mm-hmm. And you actually have to up your pace to get this sense of you're working hard for it. And I can say now, for myself, a 3 mile run doesn't feel like much of a workout for me unless I'm really pushing my pace, because I have a hard time getting my heart rate up. I've got such good cardio strength now that getting my heart rate into a aerobic zone where I'm breathing hard and I'm really having to work for it is a difficult thing for me to do. And so when it comes to speed and pace, like tall people tend to run fast, slower than shorter people. Your cadence, your step, is different from person to person. Like somebody with shorter legs is going to have a shorter stride than somebody with longer legs. And that all affects your pacing. It all affects the speed you're running at. And the general rule of thumb that is actually pretty consistent in everything I've heard, and even a couple of running trainers that I've been fortunate to work with, is that you want to be just a little bit beyond conversational pace. Like if someone was running next to you, between your breaths, could you answer a question that is more than just one word? You know, could you say a few words, or you know, actually have a conversation while you're going along? It's kind of a general rule of thumb about where you need to be. But then when you're training, you don't improve unless you push it. So yeah, when we get to these longer distances, like you were mentioning, people are saying things online about your speed and your time. People talk about a 5K speed and a 10K speed and a marathon pace, so on and so forth. It's all kind of meaningless as a general thing. Everybody's pace is going to be a little bit different. I know where my personal pace has landed at, but there's no point at all in anybody comparing that to anyone else. Because it's all different. And like, look, let's face it, none of us are Olympians here. Otherwise, you know, we'd be training for the Olympics and we certainly wouldn't be having this conversation about catch the 5K.
Right. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the weight loss part of it. I've been trying, I don't know, I haven't been very super strict on my diet. Cause one thing I tell my wife is it kind of echoes what you were saying a little bit ago about, you know, you can have a super, you know, crazy diet and you can lose some weight, but like for me it was, I don't know, I have no problem losing it, and then I put it right back on again. And I said, what I want to do this time though in getting through this couch to 5K experience is that I don't want to just like completely destroy the things that I love. You know, I want to have a beer and a burger, and you know, and I want to do these things that are normal to me and keep them as part of my life, but do them in moderation a little bit more. And I don't know, I feel like the, like it totally rings true what you're saying about, you know, as you do it more, as you drop the weight, as you strengthen up, you'll naturally be able to up your pace and your cadence and your kind of push.
Yeah, but you touched on something there that I think is really important that supersedes any of that. And it's about kind of like your general happiness of your life and your lifestyle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. I am willing, very willing to, I don't have washboard abs. I don't have a six pack. I can run and I consider myself relatively healthy, but I am not willing to give up the beer and the burger. Those are things yes. that I enjoy.
Yes.
I love hanging out with friends and having a couple of beers. I love going out for good food, and I don't want to have to worry about that. And I was actually just thinking about this the other night that, you know, of course, you know, those that are on like America Ninja Warrior and, you know, I don't know if you remember like Gladiators USA from back
yeah.
in.
Oh, heck yeah. American Gladiators. Yeah.
But like these dudes are like so in shape. They have body fat percentages that are way in the low single digits. But there's such a cost to that in that your nutrition is so specific, and it's not, from what I can tell, like, it's all a means to an end rather than an enjoyment of life. And yeah, these things like the running is, I recommend it to anyone. I've learned more about myself as a person running and training for races than anything else I've ever done. But at the same time, I know what I enjoy and have fun with in life. And it's not, unless you're really wanting to be the next American Ninja Warrior champion, for me, it's not worth giving up those things. Life is like broader than that and more important than that. And like, you're still out there doing stuff. You're still out there running your miles and doing your couch to 5K. You know what? Damn it. You deserve a burger and a beer.
I accept.
Yeah. I'm feeling the same thing too. Like my weight is higher than I would like it to be. and most of it is focused on my gut. Like, I've got the proverbial beer belly because it's just, you know, the side profile, it's okay, but then there's just this belly that sticks out. And I'm trying to get rid of that, but I'm not being strict on my diet. Like, I'm not tracking my food at all. But what we've done here is we've tried to, at home, we're trying to buy the healthier stuff. Like, because I used to bag of chips, salt and vinegar, Lays. Like, I could eat a whole,
family-sized bag. Snack on those all day long.
I know, and, like, I'd love those, but I haven't bought them in forever because I know what my weakness is. Like, that's in the cupboard. I'm going to eat it, and it's not going to last 2 days. I still love like cheddar and Ritz crackers, and I'm not giving those up, but I'm eating them more in moderation. But everything else, like it's, you know, trying to have more healthier stuff in the house, less of my, you know, bad foods that I know I'm going to eat really bad. But the weight is slowly coming off now. It is coming off. It's slow, but I'm okay with that. Like this week, because I'm only measuring on the Wednesday or the Monday. So Monday morning, I get up, have my shower, and get on the scale. Okay, this is what it is. I'll record it for the week. It was 0.2 for the week. And I was surprised it was only 0.2 because for the amount that I ran last week, like that's what it felt like. Because I did last Thursday was a 25, and that's when I started adding 5 minutes to what the program had. So I did a 30-minute run last Thursday, and I only dropped like 0.2 pounds, but like, no, down is down. That's
down, you know, is down. Yeah.
Down is down. It's an important point. So,
it's,
you know,
an important point.
Yeah. So I think I've lost 6 pounds since I've started this 8-week program. So 8 weeks, I've lost 6 pounds, which is okay. That's not terrible at all. And I know it's going to keep going down as long as I keep doing the running. So I'm okay with that. And it's just, yeah, just, I'm okay with it.
Good for you, man.
And glad it's working.
I mean, yeah, it is working. And that's the thing as well, is like I'm with you. You give me salt and vinegar chips. I mean, Lay's salt and vinegar chips.
Oh, I love those.
You know what gets me more than that is Miss Vicky's salt and vinegar kettle chips.
Oh, okay.
I will happily eat those 10 times a day, every day for the rest of, if I have to subsist on those, I would.
Nice.
But what I was going to say is, you know, it's basic science, right? It's calories in versus calories burned.
Mm-hmm.
And of course there's all there's empty calories. There's some calories are better than others. There's nutritionally dense foods, calorie dense foods.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately we know this, it's settled science. Energy in versus energy out is how we burn fat. And at some point that became important to me in actually tracking this and measuring this. There's a great app out there. It's called MyFitnessPal, and it helps you. Like, it's got a full database where you can scan barcodes of food, and it automatically puts in like your serving and all the nutritional values. And it gets it actually into the macros of like how much protein is in things, fat, carbohydrate. Salt is very important as you start running more, because your salt hydration balance affects your performance and getting side stitches and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's really about how you feel and what your goals are. A goal for running 5K is a very different goal than I have a goal to lose 10 pounds. Running a 5K is a great way to get there, but there's all kinds of ways to get there. And to your point, Daryl, you know, down is down. And if you lose 1 pound, 10 pound, or 0.1 of a pound, any of that is good and in the right direction. And like, I got to applaud it, because even there are times now, even running the distances that I'm running, which right now my mileage is very high on a weekly basis, but because my mileage is high, I kind of give myself the liberty of, you know, pounding half a pizza and a cheeseburger for dinner. And then I wonder why come Monday morning, I'm up a pound and a half, right? Well, it's still calories when I'm washing that down with a couple of beers as well, right?
Nice. Yep.
So you mentioned the MyFitnessPal. I think we actually have a group on there. If folks are interested, they can shoot us a message in Discord, and we can get them into there. That's not really our support group, but it's like, it's a nice place to just be able to keep up with things. What other apps and like maybe programs or things that do you use that help you track your running or your eating or, you know, any sort of other kind of goals to help keep you focused?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, not that many. So I, After I'd done the couch to 5K thing, I kind of caught the bug. There was something very addictive about crossing a finish line and somebody putting a medal around my neck. Mm-hmm. So I carried on and started going for greater distances. And, you know, that then became 10K, which became a half marathon, which now, right now, as we speak, I'm about halfway through a training program for the OC marathon. I'm doing the full 26.2 miles on May 6th. And I've done four full marathons. And it takes a toll on your body. But what becomes more important during that training program is tracking your progress. And so data points become very important. So in addition to having apps, I bought myself, it's great investment. I bought myself a Garmin GPS running watch. And it connects via Bluetooth to an app on my phone, which is the Garmin Connect app. And through that, I can see not just what distance I've run and my pace, how long that took me to do it, but all kinds of information about what my heart rate was, what my performance condition was. It measures my VO2 max, which is the metric I talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. My time in heart rate zones. It tracks mile upon mile, so I can see if 1 mile was faster or slower than another. And it also takes in consideration elevation. So if I'm running uphill, I'm probably going to be slower, that kind of thing. And that really helps me personally keep track of where my, am I improving? Am I getting stronger? Am I getting faster? Or am I right about where I should be? Or is something up here? Am I slowing down? Am I not able to hit these distances? Am I not hydrated enough? Do I not have enough nutrition? Whatever it might be. So that one is pretty big for me, Garmin Connect. I also pump that. You can connect that to the RunKeeper app. And I really love RunKeeper because RunKeeper is very much about social running. And I have lots of friends on there that we are part of a group that is the 50 miles a month club. And so that's a little bit competitive. So you can see who's in the lead. And nice. Right now for the month of it's actually Feb 25th to March 25th. So about a little further than halfway in the month. But right now I'm kind of in the lead on that group, and that, you know, there's something for me to keep up. So it kind of gamifies it a little bit for me.
Oh man, that plus, was trouble for me.
It's a lot of trouble, man. I'm telling you, like, when someone gets within a couple of miles for me, I'd be like, okay, I got to add another mile or two onto my next run to maintain my lead. But that one's great. And also the way they present data in the app and on their website, I find just a little bit user friendly. It's the same data that pipes over from the Garmin app. Other than that, the only other one that I have is the Life Fitness Connect app, so Life Fitness are a company that produce treadmills. And one of my runs per week is a speed run that I do on a treadmill, interval based. And they have an app where you can scan the QR code on the treadmill display, and it inputs all that data so that you have a record of it.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. That was really cool. Totally free. That one's very, very cool. Only works with Life Fitness treadmills. So if you have Precor or another manufacturer, it doesn't work. And then the final one is Map My Run, which when I get up to certain distances, I always run outside other than my one treadmill run a week. But when I run outside, you know, it's a little bit difficult when it comes to the question of where am I running this week when my distance is are kind of getting up into the double digits. Like this Saturday, I'm scheduled to run 15 miles. And so the question is, where can I go around here?
Mm-hmm.
That
we're not just like running around the block 200 times.
That'll give me like 15 interesting miles. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm lucky where I live. I'm pretty close to the beach. There's a great boardwalk. I can go do, you know, 7.5 miles out and back. Or there's places around here. Like last weekend, I did 12 miles and it was a nice loop. Exactly 12 miles from my apartment, loop around Irvine and back. But Map My Run helps you find that. It taps into Google Maps, and you can draw with your finger particular routes might be interesting.
Okay, all right.
You can save it. And it's also social, so that people who have already figured out these distances, there's an option that says find routes near me, and you can put in your distance and it'll show you routes that people have already uploaded and saved to map my run. So it takes a lot of the work out of that. So if I'm like, I got to run 15 miles and I don't want to plan this myself, I can just find a 15 mile run or cycle or something that somebody's put up there that, you know, is the right distance because it's using GPS and it's using Google Maps. And that is, it's a big time saver. And the great thing about it is once you've saved it, if you have the Garmin Connect thing as well, you can save it to your Garmin Connect. You can send the route to your Garmin watch. And then for your directions, you don't even have to remember, because when you get close to a left turn or a right turn, your watch will buzz and say in 100 yards, turn left. You run down that way for half a mile and it'll buzz and say in 100 yards, turn right. And so, yeah, it's super cool. The interconnection between those is really great. But other than those, those are the only fitness apps that I use.
I've actually got MapMyRun. It's another one of those that I've had on my phone for probably 5 years that I paid for the upgraded version that I just never used.
Man, you're sitting on a gold mine.
I totally am. But it's good to hear you talk about it. It's like, hey, I have that one. I know that one. I have a question about the salt thing you were mentioning, because this is something that's totally new to me. Like, I've never heard of this before until recently when you and I believe Kevin have been discussing it in our Discord. Like, Kevin's even mentioned he in his belt he keeps salt pills. I'm like, so what is that all about, and when do we need to start worrying about something like that?
So this really comes down to how much you sweat when you work out. For me personally, I sweat profusely. Give me 20 minutes out and I am sweating just incredible amounts. And when you sweat, you lose sodium, which is an important nutrient and electrolyte for your body. And so what a lot of people who kind of are getting into running assume, and rightfully so, is that you need to be hydrated. Yes, you need to take on water, and you need to be hydrated before you go out running. And if you're running for more than, I would say, more than 50 to 60 minutes, you should probably take some water out with you as well. There's all kinds of ways of doing that, running belts, running bottles, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But what a lot of people don't realize is the more you hydrate, the more the ratio of salt to water starts to dilute. And your body needs both, ideally in about a 50-50 ratio, because salt helps you retain water and get the H2O to your muscles, to your skin, to your body, to your brain, to your heart, so on and so forth. And so there are supplements out there that you can get. The one that I use is called Goo Brew, G-U Brew, and it's a dissolvable fruit-flavored tab that you drop in 16 to 20 ounces of water. It's pretty delicious, but it delivers a good amount of sodium, some potassium, some zinc, some magnesium, some basic electrolytes that I drink a little bit before I go run, and then I take that out with me. And the reason why this is important is because things like muscle cramp and side stitch and fatigue are generally caused by an imbalance in your water to sodium ratio. And it's very difficult to measure this outside of how do you feel. And like, I know if I've performed particularly well, I will look back at how much did I drink and what did I eat in the days preceding it, which is also where apps like MyFitnessPal become helpful, because I can then look retrospectively, like, what did I eat in the last 2-3 days, and how much water did I drink, how much water did I track in it. It allows you to track your hydration too. That has kind of set me up to perform particularly well today. And the opposite, that being, if I've gone out and run and it's just felt bad and everything was a struggle and every step was hard work, I can look back and say, oh gosh, yeah, I mean, maybe I shouldn't have pounded half a pizza on Thursday night and I barely had any water on Friday. And even with these supplements, it just hasn't leveled out for me. So yeah, those things are actually very, very important, particularly as you get to the longer distances where it's more endurance based. The more you sweat, the more of that salt, the more of that hydration you lose, the more important it becomes to be able to kind of take that on board before and during your run. And then the other thing to add to that is there are also other supplements that you can get in the form of a chew or a gel, which also deliver things like amino acids, other electrolytes, a bit of sugar, a bit of caffeine. All of these things will help with your performance. But if your basics are there, your sodium to water ratios, and you've kind of landed in a spot where you know how your body feels and are able to understand it and respond to it and kind of measure that as a personal thing, then yeah, you'll know when, you know, one day feels good and the next day doesn't. It's time to look at, have you been getting enough salt and have you been drinking enough mm-hmm. water?
You mentioned doing a once a week thing on a treadmill, and then I guess most of your stuff is just outdoors. You probably picked up from chat and with Daryl and I that I've done basically all of it on a treadmill so far.
Yeah,
I know that it's going to be a whole new thing stepping outside and doing this. Is there anything I should know? Any tricks? Is it really just prepare for it or just do it? Who cares? Like,
it's funny because I did almost all of my early training outside and not on a treadmill. And so then when I started running on a treadmill, that was the hard thing for me. It's difficult both mentally and physically for me to run on a treadmill.
Wow. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, things like headwind, you don't get that on a treadmill, but when you step outside and you're running into the wind, that just sucks. And there's nothing you can do about it, right? Like, you're running the direction you're running in, and if the wind is in your face, it's going to slow you down and it's going to feel much harder. Likewise, if the wind is behind you, you're going to feel fast, but you're going to feel warm because you don't kind of have that cooling presence on your face. The other thing that I would say is beware of the false flats when a road looks like it's flat, but it's actually an incline or a decline. There's one thing you can do to prepare for that on a treadmill is set your incline to 1%. It emulates the false flat on a road a little better than having it at zero. And it's really not that much more work to deal with a 1% incline, but it simulates your running on concrete conditions a little bit better. And then just running on concrete, it feels different under your feet. Something is not moving under you. You're having to move over the top of it. And it's just a little bit of a different feeling. There's a lot of studies out there that show that in terms of your muscle usage, people used to say it's a different set of muscles. Turns out that that's a load of BS. It's actually mostly your same set of muscles. You might feel it a little more in your quads and your calves because it's concrete and because you might be dealing with a hill here or there, a few more percent incline. But for the most part, you know, I know people that have trained through very harsh Minnesotan winters entirely on a treadmill for a marathon. And, you know, that's four and a half hours of training on a treadmill, gotten to race day and gone out there and absolutely slayed it, absolutely killed it. So it's really not that much different. It's very possible. It's mostly the environmental factors that you'd notice: the wind, the sun, the rain, or whatever it is that might be presented to you on that day. It just feels a little different. And psychologically, overcoming those things is a harder mental battle than just watching the number tick up on a treadmill.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's the reason I've been using a treadmill though, is those winters, because there's snow everywhere. All the roads are covered in snow, right? I didn't have much options, but I'm hoping to get out this weekend on the road on the subdivision. It's mostly clear of snow now, so that's my plan. We'll see.
I'd love to hear how that goes. I'm sure it's going to be a different experience. And
totally.
Yeah, I would love to hear how that is for you.
Like, it's not flat either. Like, our subdivision, I measured it. It's 2 kilometers all the way around, and it's not a flat. Like, depending on the direction you go, like, there's more gradual hills, and then there's a one bad hill. So I think I'm going to go where the bad hill, I'm going down, and then have more gradual ups. But yeah, we'll see how it goes.
It'll feel different to you.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I know this came up when we were talking a lot about the importance of rest days. Cause I hit several times where I was like, I was just so hyped about being able to do this and actually making progress. And even though, like, in the moment, there were so many times where I was like, dude, screw this. This sucks. And then, like, the next day, I'm like, all right, let's go. I'm ready to do it. Ready to go back. When you talk about the importance of rest days, 'cause I still feel like I'm not quite taking that seriously.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because when you start developing this capability, you just want to go out and do it all the time, right? And there are even days now when, you know, if I work out in the morning almost exclusively. I it just is a better experience for me if I work out in the morning. But you know, there are days where I might go out and run 5 or 6 miles and it goes so well that during the day I'd be like, man, I want to lace up and go out again tonight or again tomorrow morning. I think what we need to understand is what the body is really doing when you're training. When you work your muscles and when you are, particularly when you're training and kind of pushing your distances and trying to further your capabilities, your muscles are breaking down. And like your short twitch fibers are actually breaking your muscles apart, and your body takes time to rebuild those and recover from those. That's how we get stronger. It's how we get better, is letting the body, you know, destroy the thing a little bit and then let the body rebuild it. And if you don't give your body time to do that, you find that one of two things or even both things happen. One is the next time you go out, if it's too soon, you feel sluggish. It doesn't go so well. You start getting mentally defeated and you wonder what went wrong. And then the other thing about it is you're way more prone to injury without having an adequate amount of rest. The general rule of thumb is leave 48 hours between muscle groups. So I only run 3 days a week. I run Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. On Mondays and Wednesdays, I work upper body. So my chest, my arms, my abs, my back. I don't really stress those when I'm running. Mm-hmm. And then on Fridays, I do a very, very light, no stress cycle, which is not about, I don't push it. That's more about just keeping my legs moving. That actually aids in recovery a little bit because it's kind of like stretching, just helps get the oxygen flowing. But recovery days, rest days, absolutely vital, especially when you're starting the journey out as your body is learning to adapt to your new regimen and the new stresses you're putting it under. As much as it feels good to have a great day on the treadmill or a great day out on the pavement, yeah, absolutely 100% vital. And I've seen a lot of people that I know kind of push it a little too harsh and then get shin splints or pull a muscle or get runner's knee and that kind of stuff. Most of the time, if you're in the right gear, the right running shoe, that stuff is avoidable and only occurs because you're just pushing it a little too hard.
All right. Well, okay, so Rob and I have completed our 5K. So where do we go from here? Like where... You know, there's 10Ks, pacing, like what's...
Yeah. What I mean, the question is, what do you want?
Yeah,
What do you want to do here? I would say this. I mean, right at the beginning of this, I think, Rob, you'd mentioned that, you know, you don't want to just check the box and say, that's done, and never go back to it, right? So this really does become a lifestyle that is very reasonable to continue. And as you go on, you'll find that 5K, that 3.1 miles, at some point for me, that just became my standard minimum workout, where if I'm doing anything, the least I'm doing is 3 miles, because anything less than that just doesn't feel like working out. Mm-hmm. And you know, it took me a while to get there, but really you've got to determine for yourself, and I'd say this to anyone that's listening, like you've got to determine for yourself what you want your lifestyle to be. What can you reasonably do given all your other commitments in life, work, kids, marriage, whatever it might be? You know, how do you want to fit that in and what kind of lifestyle you want to live? But if you're up for it and if you're serious about it, that journey that you took from 0 miles to 5K, it's just a repeat of that to go from 5K to 10K. It's the same principle. It's the same thing. It's a bit more time, sure. It's a little bit more effort. And that's when we get in the territory of being conscious of your nutrition and your hydration. But gosh, I mean, once you've done 5K, there's 10K, there's all kinds of distances. You can get up to half marathon if you're people who are super ambitious. Along that journey, at some point you reach this point where it's like, well, if I can run 3 miles, I can run 6 miles. If I can run 6 miles, I can probably run 12. If I can run 12, I can probably run a marathon, you know? And that was my mentality towards it. It's all a personal choice, about where you go and how you want to kind of adapt your life to be, a little more inclusive of these kinds of things.
How long did it take you to go from kind of your you're waking up and saying, I'm going to go for a jog, to actually doing your first marathon?
So I stuck around the 5K to 8K distances for about a year. Just because I was, you know, it was just a part of my life. Like, that was just my workout. I didn't really have any ambitions. On year two, I ran the same 5K as the first one I did. And someone said, you did so much better. And I actually did. I shaved like 4.5 minutes off in the space of a year, which over 3 miles is not too shabby. That's more than a minute per mile faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so then I got I got the 5K to 10K. Which I think now they call it C to 10K. But it's really a 5K to 10K bridge that got me up to the 6.2 miles. I never ran a 10K race, but I got to that distance and then was talking with friends at work, and they kind of found this half marathon here in Irvine that was just like, why don't we all register for this? And I had about 3 months to get ready for it. So I found a training program that took me from being able to run about 6 miles to be able to run. The training program took me up to 11 miles, which is, we should talk about this if we want to, but you never really train up to the full distance of your race. You get close to it. And then that took me up to 11 miles. And then I went and ran this half marathon. And actually that, the time that I ran that half marathon in stood as my personal best for 2 years. And multiple half marathons before I broke it.
Wow.
And that was in 2014 that I broke it. And today in 2018, I still haven't got close to my best time. So that was half marathon early 2012 was my first half marathon. And then my first full marathon was in October 2013. So it was a good year and three quarters before I kind of had the guts to like bite the bullet and say, okay, I'm going to go run a 26.2. And I don't regret it. Honestly, it was one of the most life-changing experiences of my life. I flew to Minneapolis and I ran the Minneapolis to St. Paul Twin Cities Marathon. It was the first week of October, and I was raising money for the Alzheimer's Association of America. And it was just wonderful. Like, everything I learned about myself training through the Southern California summer, those kind of August, September days where it's 95 degrees out by 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. And you know you've got to go and run 18 miles. I really learned something about myself, about my perseverance and determination and capability to continue when everything hurts and I want to stop.
Wow.
I don't want to keep you too much longer here, but I know that you've brought up in our Discord a few times some other training that you do. I don't know what the right way to – is it called HIIT training or is it
– Yeah, so HIIT is what I do on Tuesdays. That's my treadmill run. It stands for high intensity interval training. And the idea behind that is I alternate so my time on the treadmill is somewhere between 30 and 60 minutes. And I alternate between very, very fast pace for a short while and then what's called active recovery, which is kind of a slower jog. And the point of that is actually to build endurance into your muscles, into your legs. You kind of take your muscles right up to what's known as the lactic threshold, which is the point at which the lactic acid buildup in your muscles starts to become toxic and you start to tire out.
Okay.
So you take it up just to the line and then you back off and recover and for a few minutes, and then you take it all the way back up again and you start to recover. And that helps to build endurance. It helps to build natural speed. It also helps to build your cardio strength. So the HIIT is one thing. And then on Thursdays, I do what's known as a tempo run, which is slightly faster than my goal race pace for an extended period of time. So today, for example, I ran 8 miles. My first mile was a warm up at a slower than marathon pace speed. My miles 2 through 7 were done at my marathon pace minus 30 seconds. So I had that set up on my Garmin, and I'm deliberately pushing my pace, and it's pretty tiring. I'm getting out of breath. My legs are starting to burn. They're starting to hurt. And then my last mile is at the same pace as I warmed up. So that helps cool down, that helps flush out some of that lactic acid and kind of bring my breathing back under control before I end the workout and do a proper stretch and cool down. And they both of those have benefits. And then on a Saturday, I do my long, slow distance, which I run at marathon pace, which is really just about adding time and distance on my feet. So they all kind of serve their purpose and have different reasons for why you do those. But together, collectively, they kind of help build your physiology, help build your physical capability, and probably most importantly is help build my mental strength in kind of getting over this idea of like, I'm going to go and run 15 miles. I mean, that takes me 3 hours to do, you know, kind of doing those kinds of distances wears on your mind. It gets boring. You've got to listen to a podcast or an audiobook or a bunch of music or something. But part of that is all part of the training, and together, you know, it all kind of fits together, and hopefully by May 6th will produce a successful result.
I really like what you're saying though about so, you know, you go out and run. Well, that can mean any number of things. That can mean your tempo run. That can mean your HIIT training. That can mean your long run. That, like, so there's all these different ways of conditioning yourself all within running. So it's almost not boring. There's lots of ways to challenge yourself and keep pushing and doing, you know, make yourself stronger just within this one thing that you're doing.
Yeah. And I would also say that I mentioned a little bit earlier that running on the treadmill was the thing that was hard for me and I used to hate the most. Now it's the workout that I look forward to the most.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Tuesday mornings on the treadmill, I've got a killer playlist that keeps me energized and keeps me up. And because it's constantly varying by speed and by incline, just real quick, for example, the first part of it, I alternate 30 seconds of sprint with 60 seconds of jog, and mm-hmm. I repeat that 6 to 7 times. And then I follow that by a constant speed, 6 miles per hour, but every 30 seconds, I up the incline by 2%.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I go 1%, 3%, 5%, 7%, 9%, and then I back it off and go 9%, 7%, 5%, 3%, 1%. And like that really burns. That you definitely feel that in every
I'm
muscle.
I'm feeling it
like,
right now, and I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah. I'm and I'm out of breath. like, and then I follow that with another round of 60 seconds of jog, 30 seconds of sprint, and I do that another 4 or 5 times, and that helps build endurance and recovery. But I really look forward to it because like it's so varied and. It's, you know, you're just constantly like, I've only got to do this for 30 seconds or another 60 seconds till my sprint. I'm psyching myself up for it and getting into it. And I've really actually learned to love running on the treadmill because of that.
I guess it's pretty diverse too. You can have all these different scenarios on demand.
Yeah. Anyone who Googles treadmill HIIT, HIIT, treadmill HIIT workout, there are so many variants out there. All of them are good. All of them will help you be a better runner, will help build your cardio strength, will help build your endurance, your speed. It's a really great workout.
I heard you say that you have a really good playlist. This will probably change for me as I become more familiar with it and it's become second nature. But I actually I tried it with music the first few times, and man, it rocked my world. It, like, and not in a good way. It was throwing me off left and right. I was trying to match the rhythms of the songs. I was trying to do all these things, and I was air drumming, and you know, like I'm sitting there, you know, just I was like a mess. And I was like, okay, fine, I'm gonna watch like Home and Garden or listen to podcasts or something, because I like the music was just messing with me too much. And I would love to be able to get back into that, but I think for now I had to focus on my breathing and focus on my strides and stuff like that to be able to even get through the couch to 5K portion.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. Like, there's a lot of people that will listen to music and use it to set their pace. That's a bad practice, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because your pace kind of also dictates your breathing. And it's much better to understand what your autopilot pace and breathing is without music, and then use music as entertainment rather than motivation. So I highly recommend every runner should get out at some point, no headphones, no phone, no music, not even a running watch or anything like that. Just go out and listen to your body and figure out what your pace is. get into a breathing rhythm, and then your body will train to kind of get into that. Now I can go out and I can listen to anything, whether it be spoken word or chill music or upbeat music or hard rock music, and it doesn't affect my pace or my breathing at all. What I would say for anyone looking for good music, I personally subscribe to Apple Music. There is a curated set of playlists. If you search for Ultra Music, that's a curation group that curate a bunch of different playlists for all kinds of things. There's a pure workout, there's a move your body, there's a run, there's a yoga, there's a hard rock, there's all kinds of playlists. Really good, really energizing, but yeah, bad idea to use the rhythm of a song to set your pace.
Very, especially when you're listening to, like, you know, some kind of aggressive. I was listening to some Killswitch and Unearth and, you know, some metal stuff.
Yeah, man.
I was like,
you're never going to want to run to, like, Dragon Force or something like that, you know?
Well, I want to, but yeah.
Oh, God. Bad idea.
Jeez. Wow. Yeah, those guys, I saw them live.
Hey, there was one thing that I wanted to mention. I know time's getting on here, but we were talking about kind of fitness apps and stuff earlier. There's one thing that I did forget to mention. That is the Charity Miles app. This is a fantastic app that if you run, get it on your phone, it costs you nothing. It will connect to your Runkeeper or your MapMyRun or whatever it is you use. And for every mile you run, you select a charity, and this app will donate to that charity from various sponsors that are connected to it. So Missy, for example, she runs with Charity Miles, and she donates her mile dollars to Alzheimer's Association.
That's amazing.
And it's cool. Really, really cool. It's very motivational, and it puts a great cause behind your mileage as well.
Yeah.
Charity Miles, everybody needs to go and get this. And also, it's not just running. If you walk a lot, you can just have this running in the background on your iPhone or your Android, and your natural pedometer will also track that, and you'll be sending dollars and cents to whatever charity you choose.
Oh, I love it. That's perfect.
That sounds awesome.
All right, one more thing for me. And we talked about this a little bit in our Discord, though. You mentioned some accessories, belt in particular. What are some must-have things? You know, because, like, we live in a day and age where, like, you mentioned running without your phone, and I'm just like, good luck with that, man. I got to have, you know, there's just stuff like that, you know, I need to have my keys and my ID and wallet or whatever. Like, so what are some accessories that you would say are must-haves?
Yeah, good question. Don't get me wrong. Most of the time I do run with my phone and with my watch and with my headphones. Just every now and then, it's good to get out without all of that.
Yeah, I want to do that. I accept that.
For carrying, most people want to carry things around the waist, right? You don't want to carry things in your hand. Having a phone strapped to your arm feels really awkward. It kind of puts your weight off and whatever. There's a company called Flip Belt, FlipBelt, that is a really awesome elastic Lycra belt that it doesn't. It's actually like just a loop that you pull up over your legs like a pair of shorts, but it sits around your waist. And it's hollow in the middle, so you can slide anything in there. It's got a clip to put your keys. You can put your phone in there. If you're running with some running gels or some running shoes, you can slide the packets in there. You can also get small, like 10 to 15 ounce water bottles that are shaped properly that will slide inside your Flip Belt. That is, for me, that was a life-changing piece of running gear. For hydration, if you're running longer distances, a company called Nathan do some really excellent running belts that will hold water bottles, so you can carry around anywhere from 20 to 40 ounces of water or sports drink or whatever. I also use a Camelback handheld water bottle that you don't really hold it. It actually kind of straps around your hand, and after a while, like, you don't need to grip it because it's just kind of there in your hand and strapped on. That also tends to have a pocket in it for you to put a phone or a set of keys, anything like that. For sunny weather, you want to look at a company called Goodr, G-O-O-D-R. They sell running sunglasses that look pretty cool. They're fun colors. The lenses have an anti-fog or anti-mist coating on it, so as you sweat and heat up, they don't fog up and get all misty. I also run just because I sweat so much with a headband and a wristband so I can wipe sweat out of my eyes and stuff like that. Let's see what else. For running apparel, there's a company called Arctic Cool that nobody's ever heard of. But these guys, they're like a little startup out of San Diego, I think they are. And they have produced a technology that was based off of do you guys remember the Hypercolor t-shirts from the early 90s?
Of course. Yeah.
The ones that within a couple of months, everybody's armpits had turned blue,
no matter what
the temperature was. So they've developed these running shirts that are responsive to your body heat. And they actually help keep you cool, and they wick moisture away from your skin so you don't chafe, you don't overheat.
Oh, wow.
And I switched to these guys about a year ago, and I swear by them now. I've run in Nike gear, Brooks gear, Champion gear, Lululemon gear. Arctic Cool beats every single one of them. It's about $30 or $40 for a running shirt. They have long sleeve, short sleeve, sleeveless. Absolutely the best running shirts, tops that I've ever experienced. They keep me cool. They also keep you warm in cooler weather. I don't know how this works, but really, really amazing gear. And then really everything from there is whatever feels best. In terms of running shoes, go get your gait analysis. Listen to the advice of whoever does your analysis. Get some good, proper running socks. Do not run in 100% cotton. You will get blisters. For longer distances.
Wow, okay.
For longer distances, I'm going to put this delicately. Things that rub against the skin will chafe, and there are certain parts of the body that chafe easier than others. So look for a company called Body Glide. Body Glide produce a product that is kind of like a roll-on stick deodorant, but it is a skin lubricant to stop seams and clothes and stuff like chafing your skin and whatever. And then one final thing, which is probably the most important thing I can say about running without pain, nip guard. Honestly, so I ran a half marathon, my second half marathon, I ran in a shirt that made my nipples bleed because it was a very uncomfortable experience as that chafes up and down for 13.1 miles. The shower after that was extremely painful. And then I discovered NipGuard, and it will honestly make your life, once you are beyond, you know, whatever short distance you can run with your shirt rubbing up and down on your chest, it'll make your life a lot more pleasant if you have some NipGuard. And that's actually really essentially what it is. It's just a very small, tiny, round Band-Aid. Yeah,
this is amazing.
It's great, yeah, right? I think I've exhausted my my list of what are your running essentials. Oh, headphones is a good one. People struggle with running with headphones because, you know, they fall out when you get sweaty, and if you go over ear or in ear. I have probably spent over the last 7 years, I've probably spent $1,000 on different types of headphones to try and figure out what works for me. The Powerbeats 3 is what I've landed on as the best running Bluetooth headphone. So there's no cable, so that's not bothering you. It sits both in ear and over ear. It has kind of like a clip that goes over the back of your ear to keep it from slipping out when you get sweaty. And it's super high quality. They're a little pricey. They're about $150 for the pair.
Looks exactly like what I have, but I picked them up a different brand on Amazon.
Yeah, there's all kinds of brands out there, same thing. I mean, I'm an audiophile, so I want it to sound good as well as feel good.
And yeah, man, that style, though, is exactly what I have to have. Because the regular Apple ones, man, I can't. Those won't stay in my ears to save my life.
I saw a dude out running the other day, and he had the Apple...
The AirBuds or whatever
the
they're.
AirBuds, yeah.
Yeah, the wireless
Or the AirPods, that's what it is.
Yeah, okay.
He looked totally happy. They were just there, and I looked at it and I kind of read some reviews and I was like, maybe. But you know, I'm so happy with the Powerbeats that at this point there's no reason for me to change at all.
Yeah, those are.
But that's also something awesome. That I feel like you've got to go through a little bit of a process of elimination and figure out what works for you.
Yeah, because like you said, those fit that guy, but there's no freaking way. Like I have to have the the over the ear, and they kind of sit in your ear too, so that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, totally.
Well, Daryl, you got anything else before we wrap it up?
No, I don't think so. That's very informative. Like, I'm ready to keep going. I have the 10K app, so I'm going on vacation next week. But after that, once I get home, like, I'm going to keep running just the 5Ks on vacation. But when I get home, I think I'm ready to start on the 10Ks.
Good for you, man. That's awesome to hear.
I want to say that to you, but actually, I just want to really one of my next goals is some weight loss, and that will probably come with everything. But yeah, I need to get my nip guards, my Arctic Cool, my
got to look after that nipple chafe, man.
Yeah. Well, if you haven't already, make sure you come and join the official Training Dummies Discord server at discord.me/TTD. It is the best way to keep in touch and get real-time interaction with us and our community, as well as the awesome guests like James here that you've heard on the show tonight. That's discord.me/TTD. And if you like what we're doing, you want to help us keep the content flowing, please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/trainingdummies. Absolutely no obligations, just more good times.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
Rob, what do you have this evening for shoutouts?
Oh, man. I should have made a list. This is like, after finishing this Couch 5K thing, I feel like I'm at the awards ceremony, and I got to thank my mom and my dad. But for real, though, number one on the list is going to be my wife. She's the one that kickstarted this whole thing for me, and she has been amazing throughout this entire process. You know, like you mentioned earlier with your wife, she's been sick and, you know, has had her own challenges, but like has supported me through and through throughout the whole thing. Daryl, you for sure, you know, kind of helping just egg each other on. That's been huge. James, you've been a huge part of this for me, especially just with the encouraging words and the advice and just the being supportive, and it's been massively helpful. Kevin, Ali, everybody in our fitness Discord that we're kind of just keeping each other going with, man. Thank you so much. You guys have all been super awesome. Daryl, what do you got?
Wow, I think you just like took everyone I was gonna say and
what used he that. Said.
But yeah, no, like you for sure. I don't know if it was pushing each other, egging each other. Didn't want to get left behind, but I think that was a big part of being able to complete this was doing it alongside you in the same time and knowing that you were doing it as well. So that really helped me to get through some of those days where you're looking like, oh, do I really want to do this? And then Discord
week
pops
five,
up.
Day three.
Yeah. Rob's done it already. I'm like, oh, okay, fire up the treadmill. Let's do this. Yeah. And, James, you know, especially big thanks for coming on and talking with us about all of this. And, you know, even just over the past years, I've got to know you, you know, just hearing you talk about your running is, it's inspiring to see other people do this and what they're able to accomplish. And along those same lines, like for years, I've admired Ali and Kevin. Because they've both been runners and they've both been, you know, talking about the marathons that they're doing and their half marathons and even 10Ks, any of that, you know, and they're always training, and it was definitely an admiration. I always looked up to them for that, because it's like, wow, it's amazing that they can do that. And now it's come full circuit. It's like, I can do this too, you know? So it's, you know, a big shout out to all you guys for this. It's very much appreciated. James, do you have any shout outs this evening?
Yeah. You know, I mean, we're going to go full circle on this, but like, you two have been, it's just been really inspiring to watch your guys' journey over the last 8 weeks through our Discord channels, through Twitter, through your Facebook posts. And it's kind of taken me back to, you know, damn, I remember when I started and how hard that was and what it felt like, both physically and emotionally and mentally. So like, major big ups to you guys. Like, I've been so impressed and inspired, and like, even though I'm, you know, a different place in the journey, seeing what you guys are doing definitely has spurred me on the last few weeks as I'm starting to up my distances. And you know, good for you guys. I'm really proud of you both. It's really awesome. And then the other thing I want to say is that there seems to be kind of this renaissance. I don't know, maybe that's the wrong word, but like there is something happening in the gaming community with fitness right now. And has been maybe for the, I don't know, the last 6 months, 12 months, something like that. Even at Blizzard, we have a boot camp and they run a biggest loser competition a few times a year. And like just seeing people that never expressed an interest or never showed an interest, just get up and go forth and kick ass. Early mornings, late nights, whatever it might be, they're just getting it done and they're making really good, healthy choices. So really my shout out goes to everybody out there. I mean, just to bring this full circle, since this really is a video game podcast, like anyone who's just getting up and doing the thing, whether it's 2 minutes, 20 minutes, 2 hours, whatever it is, like you are capable, more capable than you think you are. And I read a statistic several years ago now about kind of people who run and people who work out and people who are active, that 95% of the world's population, they don't do anything. They don't get off the couch. They don't, you know, they're just not interested in any of this, which puts those of us that are slightly active in a very special bracket, 5% of the population. That's a pretty small number when you're talking about 7 billion people on the planet. Everybody who gets up to do something, whoever it is, where it may be, whatever that thing is, be proud of yourself and keep at it, keep going, persevere. Even when it's hard, you're worth it. It's worth it. My shout out is for absolutely every single one of you.
Love it, dude. Love it. I'm totally with you there. Well, before we wrap this up, James, where can people reach you if they have any more questions about this topic or anything else, really?
Yeah, you can reach me right here on the Training Dummies Discord server. I'm here. You can just @mention me anytime, or you can find me on Twitter at English Guy, and I'm on Instagram also @ English Guy.
All right, well, I guess that wraps up episode 201 of the Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we are all just jackasses with mics that like to run. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust. From people you shouldn't.
So forget what I said before. Now is when things are getting weird.
Oh, a fan, huh? Well, who can blame you? Thanks for all the love and support
at patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Perhaps you require more training,
dummies.
Uther.
I'm not dignifying that with a response.
Look, there's a little note.
patreon.com/trainingdummies
has not been evaluated by the FDA. Please do not operate large machinery or mythical creatures after healing. Side effects may include nausea, dimensional displacement, stomach irritation, and sentient discharges. Always consult a doctor before using
patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Was that not enough jokes? Were you not entertained?